And good morning and good afternoon. Welcome to the Higher Dimensions. I'm your hostess, Phyllis Pricer. We are delighted to be here today on this lovely, lovely Sunday in Washington, D.C. And this week I have a wonderful guest, Annette Castellano, who is a marvelous psychic. Annette and I have only been recently introduced to each other, and boy, I feel there is such a connection between us. It's like we can read each other's mind. It is absolutely amazing. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I am so glad to have you on the show. I had, just as I was getting ready for the show, I had an email from one of my listeners, Dolores. And Dolores has had some really rough patches lately. And she wanted to know if she could get a reading today with regard to how to get over some of the financial and business and other hurdles which have challenged her very recently. She has recently moved into a new place to live, and she had been trying to help her family, close family, and it drained her, and she's had a number of challenges for work and so forth and so on. So I don't know if you need any more than that, and I'm hoping she can call in if she got my email back. I sent it like just seconds before we went on the air.
Okay, sure. If she calls in, that would be great.
Okay.
No, and I could address that also, but it's better for me to at least speak with someone so I can feel their energy as we're speaking, yes.
Okay, well, I don't know if she's going to be able to call in or not. If not,
perhaps not,
could
we'll
reach
do it.
It in, but we'll give a few minutes and we'll try and see if anybody else wants to call in. But before we even plunge you into work,
I love
to have you tell people about who you are, where you've come from, how you have managed to grow as you have, all of the things that have made you who you are today.
That's like a 3-hour show.
A large platter.
Yeah. I was born and raised in New York City. I come from a large Italian family and Roman Catholic background where this intuition stuff doesn't fit.
Why?
At least in those days.
Well, it still doesn't, but, you know, it's not quite as bad as it used to be.
As bad as it used to be, I know. I grew up thinking about all the time, you know, what am I doing wrong? It's like, why am I being this and why that? And I would constantly ask questions to the nuns and my parents, and it's like, what is wrong with you? Nothing. You know, being dubbed a devil's child because I can see things, you know, it's like, oh, no.
Yes.
I'm going to hell.
All superstition. Mm-hmm. Got it.
It was all superstition. And I really had a rough time growing up because I didn't know what to do with this stuff, you know?
Right.
And so I basically, in my teen years, I decided to sort of put this ability on the side because I didn't know what to do with it. So I focused on education and went to school, as a matter of fact, I had gone back and forth to school over the years after high school, not knowing exactly where I wanted to go. So I found myself, I took interior decorating and fashion design and all kinds of stuff. And whatever I did was pretty much creative, I thought.
Right.
And I thought, you know, this got to, I always had this feeling of there's got to be more.
Right.
And in my early 20s, I had a near-death experience.
Uh-huh.
And that prompted me into a state of awareness of, oh, my goodness, all the things that I've been experiencing, there's some truth to it.
Right.
And I really need to do something more with it.
Uh-huh.
So after that experience, I really went to a lot of the, at those times, it was like the spiritualist churches and watched people do mediumship, or now they call it channeling and tarot cards and other things. And I explored all of that, and I found that, for me, it was more of a distraction for the information that I would normally get as intuitive or as a clairvoyant. Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm. And so what I did was, as I developed my abilities, I also wanted to help people, and I felt like I had to work with it undercover, so to speak.
Right.
And
okay.
So I did a lot of benefits where I would I would help raise money, and I would do readings at benefits, all kinds of benefits.
Okay. Now let me put a call pause right here. I heard a little beep. It's
so
someone on the line.
Yes. Hi, Phyllis. It's Dolores.
Hi, Dolores. Oh. You got my email.
Yes, I did.
Okay. Well, welcome. How are you this glorious day, my dear?
Hanging in there. How are you?
Fine. I'm doing much better. Thank you. Well, Annette is absolutely wonderful. And Annette, this is the lovely lady I was telling you about and that I was hoping would call in, and she has.
Hi, Annette.
Can you give her a lovely reading, my love?
Yeah. Yes. Now, I have a question. So, it sounds like there's a lot of transition going on in your family and in your life. And
right.
So, let's work with one thing at a time. What is the first thing that you want to focus on?
My financial situation. It's extremely bad. And I'm not sure which way to go and what to do.
Okay. Boy, I'm feeling almost, actually the visual that I get is almost like a spider's web.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like very, very scattered. Now, I need a little bit more information because I'm feeling that you're being pulled in about a half a dozen different areas.
Yeah, that's
it feels
very,
like
very
you're
true.
Responsible for yourself, but you're also taking on responsibility for just about everybody around you.
That's very true. I have a daughter who has three children, and two of them are autistic, and I've been supporting them.
Got it. Okay, that's why I'm feeling it. So, I feel that for you to take on the financial burden for everybody is really ruining you, so to speak. And my gut is that I know that there are other agencies. I see that there are some restrictions, and with it feels like there's a lot of delays and restrictions when you're dealing with government help. But it feels like there are avenues for you to get financial help for them. And I think the issue is that there's been a lot of dependency on you, because you pretty much is, I can fix everything, and you're at a point where you're grabbing at straws because you don't have the ability to do it on your own. So I'm seeing that what you're going to have to do is actually go out and go to the government facilities that help with these types of situations, to help financial support for your kids, the child and your grandchildren.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, except the problem I run into is the fact that my daughter is of age, and because she's of age, even though I'm, you know, taking care of everybody, they won't do anything with me. But another big part of my problem is the fact that my daughter, I kind of think she might have had a breakdown or something, but she ended up just, like, robbing me three different times and totally clearing me out financially, and I didn't even know it. And so I ended up in all of these bounce checks and really, really bad situation, so I spent months trying to get out of that, and as I was getting out of that, of course, I couldn't pay any of my bills, so now I'm so in over my head, and I was just working with a debt consolidation company just online, and found out there's, like, a mortgage out in my name, there's all these other things out in my name, and I don't even know what they are.
If you don't know what they are, then you have theft identification. You have theft.
Yes. Yeah, I was going to say that too, right?
Yeah,
and it could be partly your daughter doing this, but it feels like you're going to have to really work with the right authorities, because of the fact that, yes, she's your daughter, but she also has to be made accountable. Even if she has had a breakdown, there are places that can help with that type of help. You can't take it all on your own.
How do I find these places?
Yeah, and I feel that because there is identity theft involved, that those debts would be forgiven.
Yes. If it's theft, you need to report it. I'm sorry. You've got to report.
Well, it has stopped. She's not doing it anymore. I've cut every possible means for her to be able to do it anymore.
Well, that's the point is, unless you take proactive steps, you're still going to be behind the eight ball, darling.
Hmm?
And
right.
This is called tough love.
Yeah,
more
but,
sometimes
but
you
what
enable
about the children?
Someone, the worse that gets.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I mean, everybody says that, but then what about the children?
Again, they are not your responsibility, mm-hmm. but there are agencies. You can talk to the government agencies. Child Protect, is she still out of the country?
No, she's here.
She came back?
Oh, yeah. That's when all this happened, was when she came back.
Okay, because last
yeah,
I heard
had another
she was
child
out of country.
Since, and,
okay.
I mean, it's,
you, it's got to be, first of all, you need to call the Child Protection Services because you can't do it. And the reason why you're not being allowed to do it is because you're not giving her the opportunity to grow. By taking over and taking responsibility for her, you are stifling her ability to grow. And that's not good for her or for you or for the little ones. Because, quite frankly, you won't last long enough to raise them. This is now not a micromanagement of here and now. This is a long-term view.
Right.
Okay.
Well, we are working on, she's living in her own place now, and we're working on her being more responsible.
Oh, I hear
that
we. I'm not hearing her,
I'm
you know, separate from you. It's got to be separate. You still have to release that, Pony Bun. My gut feeling is you need Child Protective Services in there financially and emotionally to help her out. Okay?
Uh-huh.
You've got to step back. You can give her moral support, but that's about all. My gut feeling is if you do not do this, she will simply continue to go back and forth, until you are emotionally, mentally, and physically out of it. And then it will really be much worse than had you stepped back now, which would give her a chance to move forward.
Right, and in addition to that, I'm thinking that there are, I know for a fact that there are agencies that would help with emotional counseling because that she really needs.
Right.
She needs guidance
yes.
that you give.
Yes,
and you can't do it because you're her mother.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And she will not accept it from you. She may say so with her lips, but her heart is saying no. My feeling is that what she's saying is yes and agreeing to is simply lip service, and it's not really the truth. It's not right. She hasn't hit rock bottom, in other words.
No, she hasn't, but I have.
Yeah, I know you have. That's why you need to move forward. Okay?
It's like an addiction.
Yes, it is.
You see a lot of addicts that they don't know that they're in it until they're out of it, if they get out of the process. You know? She doesn't see it.
No, she doesn't. And she will tell you anything and act any way in order to keep you tied in to continue providing the support that you are. Do you understand?
Yeah.
She's telling you what you want to hear. Because that's how she's dealt with you in the past. And as for you, until you can take care of yourself, you can't help anybody else anymore. I know that's really tough, but you leave me. My heart aches for you. But this is when the rubber hits the road.
Okay.
And you need, and the first thing you should do is write the credit bureaus. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Write the credit bureaus. Has this agency told you to do that?
No, I haven't talked to anybody. They're closed. Because as soon as I started seeing these discrepancies on, you know, they pull your credit report, and they do it all online.
Yeah.
And as soon as I saw things that I knew weren't mine, I picked up the phone and called them, but they're closed.
Okay. Got to write it in. Can't just call it in. They will ask for it in writing. Okay?
Uh-huh. Okay.
So this is what you need to do. Set up a generic letter and just have it sent to the credit companies that your name, credit, has been used by an unauthorized individual.
Okay.
Okay, and enumerate what, to the best of your knowledge, what you have, and to let them know, because otherwise you are creating a legal. I have been there, done that, bought the T-shirt. People took out loans, my children took out loans in my name that I didn't know about, and then defaulted on the loans, okay?
Uh-huh.
So I know whereof I speak. You must take a proactive stance, or you will be considered liable. Do you understand? You don't want to do that. That's not right.
Right.
Okay?
Okay.
So having done it myself, having been there myself, I can say it hurts. My God, it hurts. But you also have to allow the fact that these people are now grown adults. They're not your children in your apron strings. They aren't babies. And as much as they need emotional help, it begins with her. And until she comes to that source of feeling and understanding, it's not going to move forward. And then you can take care of yourself. Now, aside and apart from that, Annette, could you see if and when it's going to start clearing for her and things are going to start getting better? Let's give her some hope in this.
It feels like, you know, she starts working on it now. I would say within a couple of weeks, she'll see dramatic results.
Okay.
Because when it comes to theft and emergencies, emergencies in situations like this,
mm-hmm.
the agencies respond very fast.
Okay. Does this help you any? Yep. Okay. Well, thank you.
Oh, honey, you're welcome.
I appreciate it.
Please keep in touch, my dear.
I will. Thank you.
Okay?
Okay.
God bless you, darling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Many blessings. Bye-bye.
Yeah,
that's
I know.
That's a toughie.
It's very hurtful. I know.
Yeah.
I went through that, and it hurt. Like, it hurts when you have to take
especially
that.
The feeling, you know, that
yeah.
she feels that, you know, she wants to help protect them.
Yeah.
And actually, they really don't need protection because this is their experience.
Yes, yes. And I understand all that, but by God, you're still a mom. It still hurts like the heck.
Oh, yeah.
You know, no matter how you slice it, it's still being a mom. And
that's right.
And so I know how upset I was, and it just ate at me for so long. But, you know, you grow through it. And you finally, you just have to step back and say, God bless you, and also, by the way, the other thing I'm wanted to be sure of, do not be guilty that you are in any way responsible for your daughter's current life.
Yes.
Do not take responsibility. It's the life that was chosen, and that is the life she's choosing to live because she has lessons to learn. So do not mm-hmm. take the guilt. It is not your fault. Yes, who's calling, please?
Hello.
Hi. This is
Shirley.
Welcome to Higher Dimension. Who's calling?
This is Shirley.
Shirley, where are you from?
Oh, California.
Oh, well, welcome. Thank you for calling in.
How may we serve you today?
Well,
I've just got a question about work-related, and I've just been in a holding pattern for a while now, and I know that I'm going through a huge transition. I just wanted to know if you guys could see anything in regards to work for me next month or in the coming months.
Okay.
Are you working right now?
No. I'm not.
Okay. Because it feels like your skills have changed in a positive way. Have you taken other classes?
Pardon me?
It feels like since you have worked that your skills have enhanced. I'm not sure if it has to... It feels like you... like your last job gave you a lot of skills that you would be able to advance into a higher position, so to speak.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
And what it feels like, I know that job markets aren't the best right now, but it feels to me that if you keep on putting out resumes and working with agencies, I can see you getting a job and starting work as early as November.
Oh, good.
Well, but you have to keep on. You have to be persistent. Like when a lot of times when the agency says, "I'll call you back in a couple of days," and they don't,
yes.
you keep on calling back because it feels like this is a test for you to show your stamina.
Got you.
Okay.
So do you see a transition in my work? Because I keep feeling like I'm not going to go back and doing the exact same thing I was doing before.
No, that's what I'm saying. It feels like you've learned so much, and I see you doing more, a job with more responsibility, and it feels like the work that you were doing gave you a lot of diversity, and so now you can take that diversity and expand that for a higher type or more responsible position. Yes.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, that does.
Does that fit in with what you had hoped?
Yeah, I think so. It makes sense along the lines of what I can see or what I basically am feeling.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I'm going to say this. If you are having some strong feelings, we want you to honor that. Okay?
Yeah.
Very much so, because it is partly not only just to help people that we talk, but also to encourage people to reach within their own being and find the answers within, because we all have that capability. And Annette teaches a course like that. So, do you not, Annette?
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, it's a matter of enhancing and growing and respecting your own inner feelings, which will lead you to trust more and to grow more. And that's what we're hoping to help people with the most, is get them to move forward. Do you have another question now? You said there was more than one.
Oh, it was probably just about a baby.
That's okay. It can be about anything you like.
It's totally different things.
That's okay. Go ahead.
I'm not pregnant. Don't have
a kid. Oh, good.
But I keep feeling like I'm going to get pregnant, and I want to. But I don't know if that's like something that's going to happen anytime soon, or if I don't feel like, you know.
You'd like to have a child?
Yes.
Well, that's a good thing. Do you get any feelings about
that? Well, it feels like a lot of times when there's a thought of it, a lot of times we attract the spirit that wants to be born, and they'll just hang around until you get pregnant. It's like, you have a body to work with, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it feels like when you make the decision that you're ready for that step, then it'll just happen very quickly. But I feel that you're wavering with it because you're not sure, whatever, and it feels to me that once you make up your mind that this is what you want, it feels like you're a very fertile myrtle. You know?
Oh, yay. Good to know.
Well, okay. Yeah. My feeling is that part of your wanting to go back to work is conflicting with the other desire.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Not at all. It really basically feels like I'm very organized, and so I want to create a nest egg and make sure that I can financially support a child. And so,
well, that's what I'm saying. That you. That, I'm sorry. Perhaps I misstated it. Right now, you are not ready at the moment.
No,
to have a child is what I'm
true.
Saying.
Okay.
That's true. That's what I was feeling. That you are not yet ready mentally, emotionally, and you feel financially. But when all systems are firing and you feel ready, will you have a child? The answer is yes.
Got you.
Okay?
Cool.
Any other questions?
Nah.
Does that work for you?
Yeah, I'm happy camper.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Bye.
Right. Bye.
Bye. Okay. That's great. Okay, now let's get back to y'all, darling.
Okay.
You were talking about how you move forward, and you started honoring, respecting, because you found
yes,
out
and,
within you.
Yes, and I, you know, so I continued working with my intuition, but more as not a hobby, but as a sidebar, because
right.
it just didn't fit into society at the time. So, on the corporate side, I work in human resources. Employee relations, and I have a pre-law degree, and I'm a mediator. And
right.
so there's that whole other aspect, but I found myself, rather than saying but, I found myself within those guidelines, I have been able to use my intuition on a regular basis, of course, in, let's say, in employee relations, asking and mediation, asking the right questions of the people, investigations, on an interviewing basis,
right?
Knowing what would be the best person
right.
for the best job, that kind of fit.
Yeah, that's
so,
the thing.
I see that there's another beep.
I did. Okay, welcome to our show. Who's calling?
Hello, ladies. This is Nancy from Washington State.
Hello, Nancy. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine, thank you. You wonderful ladies.
Thank you. How can we serve you today?
Well, I was wondering if you can tell me anything about if my health and energy level is going to get better.
Okay. Annette?
it feels to me that I would say yes, and at the same time, the conflict I'm feeling from you is worry. There's a lot of worry. And so with the worrying, there is, and not necessarily worry where you're just sitting and thinking, oh, my God, what about this, what about that? But just on the back burner, it's like, oh, God, you know, I really wish, as opposed to working with the strong affirmations of making statements and saying, my body's restored to perfect health, you know, that kind of thing. It feels to me that you need to do more conscious work in affirming the healthiness of your body.
Okay. Seeing it, in other words, as healthy at this point.
Yeah.
Seeing it as healthy.
Okay.
Seeing it as healthy. Acting as though it's healthy.
Right, because what I'm feeling is that with the other aspect, and it feels like your immune system gets tired.
Yes.
You know? And so when your immune system gets tired, that's the time, especially, that you could say, all right, this is what I'm feeling, and now visualize your immune system very strong. Remember the old cartoon Popeye with the spinach?
Uh-huh.
That would be a really fun visualization. Just see yourself popping down some universal, you know, high-potency spinach, you know, and your body just perks up with strength and power. And work with cartoon-type visualizations.
Imagery.
Yeah, imaging, because it feels to me that you are a very creative person, very visual, and it feels like that you're a practical, not necessarily a practical joker, but you see things in a very jovial way.
But I think you may take the illness a little bit too seriously. What you're feeling is too serious.
Yeah.
I have much concern, and I'm not sure whether it's familial in that there has been serious illness in the family, and that you would like to avoid that, thank you very much. I'm really not sure what it is. But I would say take a lighter stance with yourself. Don't take yourself so seriously, in other words.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. You're giving too much concern to that which is not perfect. And you also have a tendency to be a little bit too much perfect, don't you?
Yeah.
You want everything to be just so?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But you couldn't tell it by looking at me or my house right now.
That's not how we do it.
And I think that's where the frustration is, because I do the visualization.
Right.
And I feel myself when I, you know, by the time I get off from work on Friday, that my Saturday and Sunday I'm going to just be able to buzz through. But it hasn't happened because my body actually really needs to rest on the weekends to be able to do it again.
Then why don't you take time and go out and play? You know, dirt is going to always be there for you to clean up, okay?
Uh-huh.
But one time, just take a weekend off and just go out and have fun. Go out and play.
Okay.
Okay?
That
and then
makes sense.
The other thing that I do a little bit of and I find works is that each day I just pick up a little bit, okay?
Uh-huh.
I just pick up a little bit, two or three things, that's it, and then stop. And you'll be amazed how quickly you start putting things in place. And you are not spending a great deal of time doing it. And when you need to get something done, it takes you very little time. But just, you know, do one thing at a day instead of trying to accomplish the whole thing, because part of, I think, the exhaustion is, geez Louise, you're exhausted before you started just by looking at it.
Yeah.
So just do one thing, two things each day, and just begin, even if it's just throwing papers out.
Uh-huh.
Just getting junk mail that you don't read. Believe me, if you don't read it, the world will not end, and your hair won't fall out.
Yes, that makes a lot of sense.
And the Postmaster General will not descend upon you raving that you didn't read your mail. It's okay to throw stuff away without saving it. That's a family peculiarity of mine, by the way. I have a cousin who I love very dearly, but he's got stacks, literally stacks, and piles and in his house of mail that he hasn't read, that he feels he has to go through, lest he miss something. Trust me, I told him, the sun will continue to rise and fall, or rise and set each day, whether or not you ever get to it.
Oh, my goodness.
So does that help you any better?
Yes, it does.
And not only that, once you do that, pick up a little bit, it's going to be self-fulfilling because you're going to feel a little bit better and a little bit better and a little bit better after that. And one of the, you'll turn around in a week or two and say, oh, my goodness, there isn't all that much to do. And then your legitimate free time is there. But please, just go out and have fun. Don't look at the weekend because you're depressing yourself.
Yeah, you're right because it feels like that. You know, I'm all charged up Friday night. Yeah, I can do it.
Yep.
And it doesn't happen.
Okay, well,
okay.
Then, you know, c'est la guerre. It won't be on your epitaph. You kept the dirtiest house in town, trust me.
Yeah.
Oh,
I sure appreciate the help.
Is there anything else we could help you with?
Well, how about my husband's health?
Okay. My dad?
He's been kind of declining, and he doesn't, he's not on the same wavelength as I am as far as our spiritual path.
That's okay.
And he feels that, you know, things are starting to fall apart and things are starting to not work. And I keep telling him to, you know, look at it like it is working, blah, blah, and this kind of stuff. And he says, you know what, I'm 63 years old and I'm going to be just like my dad. I'm going to wear out and go.
Got it. You see, he's already made it predestination.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Predetermination.
Yes.
For himself.
Uh-huh.
You know, because as you were talking, the idea that came to my mind is like, he's ready to go buy himself a wheelchair.
You
know, to prepare.
Yes.
You know? And so that is a temperament that you really, he's got to change his mind to want to live. Otherwise, he'll get exactly what he determined.
For. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see that possibly happening with him as far as changing his mind or his outlook?
Well, I don't know. Let me think on that one.
Because, you know, I see him, you know, I try to tell him I really believe that he's depressed, and his answer is, you know, I'm not depressed. I'm tired.
Well, you know what comes to mind? I'm going to interrupt you for a second. It feels to me that he is not really into intuitives and all that, but
right.
He's interested in science. And so there, can I make recommendations, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I would look into the works of Dr. Wayne Dyer.
Yeah, good.
Are you familiar with him?
Yeah.
Wayne Dyer. And there's also another interesting read. His name is Greg, G-R-E-G-G, Braden, B-R-A-D-E-N. And that brings, he talks about science and spirituality and how that combines. Fascinating read.
Also,
so my suggestion would be to introduce your husband to those two authors so that he would have an opportunity to take a glimpse into another reality and possibilities and perhaps change his mind.
Ah, okay.
What does he do?
Right now, he's a security officer at the same hospital that I work at.
Uh-huh.
And he's not happy there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then what else can he do besides being security?
Well, he's a computer programmer, but
okay.
They're just not hiring them in our area.
Okay. It would seem to me that finding something else for him to do in his off time or as a hobby would be a really good lead.
Okay.
Okay. Something that he could do to help others in particular. Some kind of charity. Do you belong to any kind of church or community group? Acting? Anything like that?
No, he's definitely not interested in that.
No, okay.
We're totally opposites.
He's a couch potato?
He's a what?
Couch potato?
Basically, yes. I mean, he works on, you know, crossword puzzles and Sudoku. But, yeah, he's a couch potato.
Okay. So he wouldn't be interested in helping someone else who needs help?
I don't think so.
No.
He thinks I'm kind of loony when I go out and help people.
Okay. Interesting. Ask him what he would do if you suddenly became, or you became ill and he had to take care of you. How would he handle that?
Well, he took care of, my mother lived with us for 7 years before she passed away.
Okay.
And he took care of her very good and did everything that needed to be done during the day so I could work.
Uh-huh.
And then I took care of her at night so that he can work night. So he doesn't have a problem with helping family.
Yeah.
He's very good with bathing, showering, you know, anything
yeah.
and everything.
Right.
But
not outside the family.
Not outside the family.
Okay. Well, maybe he could be with a neighbor or a friend, someone
mm-hmm.
who would need help.
Uh-huh.
But he does need an outside interest. That's what I would say.
Yeah. Okay.
And
that makes sense.
He can use it. He could use and even use his, his capabilities. I would think, creatively, to help nonprofit companies with computer issues and so forth and so on.
Uh huh.
Using his current skills to make things better for others.
Yeah.
Just play and have fun. He needs to have his mind stimulated. Is what it amounts to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you.
So if you could do that, maybe that would help, you know, light a fire.
Yeah.
Okay? Anyway, we'll say a prayer for him. Anything else we could do for you
nope.
right now?
Thank you, wonderful ladies. I appreciate all your
very
help.
You're welcome. You're welcome. It's fun. Thank you for calling.
Thank
bye-bye.
You. Bye-bye.
Phyllis, we're a good tech team. Great. It just flow.
Yeah, it does. It does. When you're like-minded people, it does flow, doesn't it?
I love
it's
it.
Easy. So continue on with your little background bio. You do personnel and you use that to choose the right people and work in arbitration and
yes,
so forth.
Yes, yes, and that really helps. And then as a mediator, I've used that the intuitive ability to ask the right questions of the party.
Exactly.
So this way it really helps to facilitate,
yes.
Resolve. And so
right.
I realized that intuition is in itself, for me, my understanding is that it's just a message. It's just the information, and what you do with it
yeah.
is the wisdom behind it. And so
yeah.
years ago, I started to play around with the idea of just sharing information, whatever, and as the years have gone by, I have been teaching, and my teaching has been, of course, with all of my experiences, gotten more detailed
right.
and more focused and so on. And so now I'm at a point where I'm showing people in when I teach the very much the psychology of intuition, how to
right.
use it, how to use their skills in helping themselves and other people. And I just had a class last week, and I'll tell you, I was amazed to see how the whole group was just uplifted and the responses
oh,
on the
yeah.
evaluations. I really I'm tickled. That
nope.
I was able to help people move forward and explore, their abilities
mm-hmm.
that they didn't even know that they had, and now they have, they have other something else to work with.
Mhm. Mhm. I think that's very much needed. I think this is the right timing too.
Yes.
And I want people to realize that you yourself underwent a very harsh initiation in that you had a stroke.
Yes.
And you have had to heal from that stroke, and you are still coming back
mm-hmm.
from that. And share with them how the honing of your intuition has increased through your suffering and the difficult times you've gone through.
I'm a number of years before I had the stroke, I was suffering with migraine headaches and high blood pressure and all that thing, and I went to the University of Washington for about 2 years under testing, and nobody can find anything wrong. And when the day before I had the stroke, I had woken up with a nosebleed, and I bled for about 9 hours in the emergency room. And at the end of the ninth hour, I literally gagged up this. It looked like I thought I was losing
right.
a piece of my brain. It was the
actually,
size of the palm of my hand.
Right.
And the doctors, they just hovered over and took it like there was some sort of afterbirth. It was like, what is that, my brain or what? And so they kept me overnight in the hospital. After that, the bleeding had stopped. But I started about 3 hours later starting to notice that my left side was getting numb, and I couldn't stand up for, they wanted to take me for some x-rays, and I fell out of bed because I didn't have the strength in my leg. But by the third day, my whole left side became paralyzed, including the left side of my face. And I was in the hospital for about 10 days, and at that time, they made a determination to put me in a convalescence home because they never thought I would heal. So and I remember I had some use of my right side, but I was out of coordination, and I couldn't talk because it kept on biting my tongue on my left side. So it was really messy. And so anyway, with that, went to a convalescence place, and it was about 2.5-3 months later that they sat me up in a wheelchair. My left arm, my left shoulder was dislocated, so I had a sling. And that was the first time I had seen myself in a mirror. And I was shocked. I was shocked to see what it looked like. And I felt this pathetic poor thing. I was gray. I had dropped like 30 pounds. And I looked like a refugee, so to speak, to, you know, my own opinion. And I just sat and I cried on and off for about 3 days. And I thought, you know what? This is crap. I am not spending the rest of my life in a wheelchair. So I spoke to rehab and I put myself in a program where I went every day into rehab 6 hours a day and worked on my body, working with affirmations, and to the point where by the end of the year in January, I was released, and I now live in my own place. The only thing is I can't climb on ladders at this point, but I do take the bus where I need to go, and I'm still healing. Now, the doctors that I've gone to see are scratching their heads. One, they don't have any idea how I survived, and two, I'm at a point where I'm actually walking, building strength in my left side, and I'm actually walking when I'm not in a chair with a walker. When I left the facility, I was up to 70 steps. I had the stroke last April.
This year?
Last April. Last year.
A year, 2007, okay.
2007, and I was released from the convalescence center in January of this year.
Look at that.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, my doctor calls me the miracle babe. You know, and he's like, you know, he says, I've never been, and he just told me last week, he says, I've never been inspired by a patient the way I have been by you. He says, you just don't give up. And my focus through all of this is like, you know what, God, until you show me that I'm not going to heal anymore further than what I have, then I'll work with the adaptions. Otherwise, I'm moving forward. And I just used every ounce of my spirit and strength and focus, and I keep on working with affirmations. Major affirmation is, my body is totally restored to perfect health.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And I work with that as I'm walking, as I'm practicing. You know, I'm not able to type with my left hand still because my arm is still a little stiff, but now I'm up, I can walk about 600 feet. Mm-hmm. Whereas before, I couldn't walk too. You know?
All right.
So it's taking time, but I'm doing it. And you had asked for what I learned from it. And so basically, what I learned from this, I would say, in the whole process, I learned a lot about my spirit. I feel that my spirit has expanded. I'm just able to, as a matter of fact, even my readings are deeper. I'm able to see and sense things on a very deep level. I feel like I've consciously have come to terms with understanding compassion and patience, which I didn't have before, because if I didn't work with compassion and patience, I wouldn't be where I'm at today, you know, in the healing process, and persistence. It's paramount that when someone works, when they're working towards healing, that they are persistent and focused. And my sister, which I thought was very interesting, a few months ago, we were celebrating, she lives in New York, and we were celebrating over the phone, and we were chatting, and she was, well, do you know why that you got better the way you did? And I said, well, because I've been focused. She said, yeah. But you know what? You never once thought of yourself as disabled.
That's right.
And I said, you know, you're right.
That's right.
And so while I was in the facility during my last 3 months there, I had taken whatever I have, I was sort of like an inspiration. They would point to me, oh, look at her, she's doing so much better. I used whatever I had to go and visit with other terminal people,
right,
and spend time with them.
Yes.
And I started some watercolor classes. I also do watercolor. And I started watercolor classes for some folks. I started a women's group. And my work actually started while I was in the facility.
Okay.
It is amazing. So I'm at a point where now that I've been home, I'm now working on these other projects. And this one major one is, as a matter of fact, this class that I just taught last week, I had arranged to teach this intuition class with the local college, Pierce College, the year that a couple of months before I had gotten sick. Everything was in place.
Uh-huh.
And then I got sick and I couldn't do it. And so when I got here into my apartment this year, I called up the manager and I asked her if she was still interested in having me teach. She says, oh my God, I thought you were dead. It was like, well, I'm back. Here I am, honey. I'm ready to roll.
Yeah. And Mark Twain said, the report of my death has been much exaggerated.
and actually, even though it wasn't a physical, death experience like I had when I was younger,
yeah,
it was definitely the death of an old way and birth of the new.
And
you know,
part of this you had discussed was you thought was a possibility to help you grow. Without it, you would not have been able to achieve what you have.
Oh, that's right. That was the part that when I was suffering with the headaches and all, I sat down very quiet. It was about a couple of weeks before I got sick, and it was like, with the most deepest earnest, I prayed to God. It was like, God, give me the lesson that I need so I can grow and fulfill my purpose. Whatever it is, I can handle it.
Right.
But it never occurred to me that it would be like this, but it did the job.
Yes, it did. And
did the job.
And
I wouldn't have had it any other way.
Mm-hmm. And you are healing.
Yes.
Okay, this is a truly inspirational story.
Yes.
Sometimes, it's also a variation of what I have heard them say also is, beware what ye ask God, lest he grant it unto thee.
Yes.
I had did something like that when I was in my early 20s, And I said, I'm a very good person. I would like to get rid of all the karma I have on this earth plane because I'm such a good person. You know, I didn't think I had much to do. Well, fortunately or unfortunately, good Lord was home that day. He said, yeah, so you want it, you got it.
Yeah. It's like, sure.
Boy, life's been a hell of a roller coaster since then. I learned the hard way. Don't always ask because unless you know what the possible outcomes are because you could really be sorry.
Yes.
But I think it's very important that people understand that when we go through this, sometimes it's to learn a lesson to help us not only learn and guide ourselves, but to be an inspiration to others.
Mm-hmm.
We choose the body that we have to be of service. And when we stop and think about it logically, what was I thinking at the time? But then you come back and say, I was thinking from an unselfish standpoint.
Yes.
And so because it came from the heart, you received your wish. And that is, we were talking about energies a couple of weeks ago. Understand that when you ask for something with emotion, with energy, because emotion and energy are inexplicably twined, you will receive what you ask for. That is why so many people do not get what they ask for, whether it be money or something else, or a new job or a new relationship, because they, A, may ask for it, but they aren't emotionally ready for it.
Right.
They don't ask for it with passion and true intent. you know, you can't lie to yourself and you can't lie to God, and you can't fool the higher self. So your body, mind, and spirit must be in alignment with what you desire. If it is not, you won't get it, or what you get may be the exact opposite of what you asked for.
Right.
Because your true intent was not there. And asking with passion and asking with intent is so important. That's my lecture for today.
Yeah. You know, and to add a sidebar to that is that I've also noticed that in working with people that a lot of times they ask for the information or whatever the experience, and then when it comes to them, they're resisting it because it's not what they thought.
Yeah, it's not in the format in which
Right, and I just talked with a man the other day, and it was like, no, you asked for it, and we were chatting, and oh, my God, you're right, you know. And it's I think even with you, when you do the readings, when you're working with somebody and they have that aha moment, where there's a sense of relief, it's like, yes, I did my job.
Yes. And also, because there's so much more than meets the eye when you move into this area. And now let's do generic, more or less. This is a very, very interesting time frame. I'm not going to ask you to predict who's going to win or not. I think we know, but that's okay. But the energy of what we are going to have is there is a lot coming up for people, okay, even with the change in government, which will be no matter who gets elected. But what do you foresee coming up in the next, say, year in America or in our economic future? Can you give a generic on this one, some perspective on that? I don't know if that's what you do.
I normally work with people. I don't normally work with that kind of stuff, but let's see what I come up with.
Reach. What the heck?
Yeah. I would say I see recovery from the financial burden of what we have.
Right.
I think they're going to come up with another plan in addition to what they've already put through. And it feels like there'll be a relief of a lot of burdens for people. You know,
individuals
similar to, you know,
Individuals rather than institutions.
Yeah. What comes to my mind is, remember when the government sent everybody that $600, whatever it was, check
it? $300.
Well, it feels like there's going to be something of that nature, not necessarily where they'll be sending people checks, but it seems like there will be some sort of relief. Like a lot of people felt relief, even though it was a little bit.
My feeling is
like
there's going to be relief for people with their mortgages.
Absolutely.
It's going to turn around from being given to institutions and be more directed for the individuals.
Yes.
Because there's going to be the realization that without the middle class, you don't got nothing, honey.
That's right. That's right, because the government, everything has been pointing to creating a higher class and low class, but nothing in the middle. But the middle is,
is
what really makes this country
great.
Live.
That's it. And that's why it was founded.
Right,
for the middle class.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's where we're going to go back to. So my feeling, and we'll know soon enough if this is going to turn out all right, folks, but I do feel that there is economically help coming for those who are financially in straitened circumstances, and that it is that those who need help with mortgages are going to, that they, there's going to have to be a forgiveness of the high prices, because quite frankly, they were driven by greed.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of fraud going on. So we're going to be going back more because we're dealing with idealists rather than opportunists. Okay. Anything else that you see? What about any changes on Earth? Any?
I feel more rumbling under the crust. So I think that there will be a couple of more disasters with tidal waves and hurricanes and that kind of thing. I think this year I'm all goosebumps with that. I think there's going to be a few of them. And so it's unfortunate, but with the ozone layer, really being torn apart and burning apart,
I really feel that there's going to be some other disasters.
Yeah, I'm concerned along those lines as well, because it's not over yet. There are going to be earthquakes. There are going to be more hurricanes.
Yeah.
I think we're going to be getting help. Do you have any? We sometimes touch on UFOs. I don't know if you go into that area or not. You can say no if not. But do we think we're going to be getting help from others in the other part of the solar system? I have no. I think we will, but that's my opinion for what it's worth.
From my interactions, I think the way it works, is that they. Basically, this is our world, and this is our experience. It's sort of like the parents and allowing us to do, you know, our own exploration. But I also feel that there's help on the level where when people have dreams and telepathic, they feel that they're very, very telepathic, and then necessarily where they would be very physical.
Okay. So you think more of it's going to be from inspiration? And
I think more from inspiration and direction.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
For right now, I see more physical contact way in the future, but right now it feels like there's...
In our lifetime or in our children's lifetime?
Yes, I would say in our life. You're in my lifetime, yes.
Okay. Well, I got gray hair, honey.
Hey, color of the hair doesn't matter.
Did you know that Edgar Cayce has a formula where you can get the color, your own color hair back after it's turned gray? I have a formula. I took a course at the ARE. I tend to jump from subject to subject. I'm sorry. But
that's
you can get your own color back, and it's they have a certain recipe. If you eat this potato soup daily for 3 months, your normal hair color comes back, and it doesn't go away again. You lose the gray, in other words. And
really?
They have had some people try it, and it does work. But most people get sick of eating potato soup before it
works. Would you send me the recipe?
Sure.
I'm not totally gray. I have some, but it's like I really love my own color.
Yeah, it fades when you get older. I never knew that, you know, and now it started fading. I said, what is this? And I said, no, I found out I could get it back. And I said, well, why not? If I could, why not, right?
Mm-hmm. Before I had the stroke, my hair was almost black. And while I was in the facility, it turned more like a grayish black.
Right.
And now it's like a light black. But I have a lot of silver here and there, but it's more like under the bangs and whatever. So it's like I really miss my dark hair.
Yeah.
Oh, I really miss it.
Yeah, I liked my color hair. It kind of faded out on me, and I had no clue that that's what it did, you know. It was there one day, and then one day it wasn't. And so
that might be the reason why I bought this cookbook a while back. It's called Potatoes. You can have, I think there's like 300 recipes with potatoes, so maybe Spirit was telling me something.
I'll be glad to send you the recipe. It's in here somewhere. I just found it the other day, and I thought, oh, I meant to try that, but I haven't. Yes. Oh, it's time. I'm sorry. We got to say goodbye. Forgive me. We are out of time. Thank you. I'll have you back again. God bless you all.
Thank you. God bless you. Thank you, everybody.
Bye-bye.